Well, again, everybody, welcome back to the highly successful and spiritual podcast, or the David Trigg Show, or Gozo TV. Any of those works just fine. Here, surrounded by my Gozo bell right there on this beautiful Tuesday, October 8th. It's been a minute, as the kids say. And I want to kind of give you an update on what has been going on with me and kind of why the absence in terms of content in this particular podcast. So I think it's been a summer or maybe fall here of a lot of change that I wasn't expecting, particularly when it comes to our teens. And I won't go into too many details here, but you may know that we have a 20, an 18, and a 16-year-old. We have three beautiful teens, and two of them, one of them graduated from high school just this spring, this summer, and on to college now. And then our younger boy, he's now driving. And so life has been changing for them. And therefore, for me, I think that I've been talking a lot about this with Rochelle, with my wife. It's been a big deal to see and experience all the changes in terms of their freedom and their choices and college and all the different activities and parties and boyfriends and girlfriends and all that goes with teenage life. I just wasn't ready for it. Our firstborn, who's 20, moved out for her first year of college. And that was difficult, setting up her room or her dorm at her new university. She's now back at home. Since then, it was just too expensive and not the right school for her. But it wasn't as hard as this one. These last two changes with our younger ones has hit me more because I think they've been more, they were just so sudden. And so I've been dealing with a lot of loss, a lot of loneliness, sadness that comes from this change. And I know this is very typical. I've spoken to many parents of teens, and I know that it gets easier, harder. I don't know. Every season has its challenges and its blessings. But that's been something. I think the other thing has been we lost our worship leader about 2 months ago, and so I've been doing it since, which is a joy, of course. As you know, I love music and worship. But I think it's brought out a lot of stress in my life, and I am just getting used to it just now, 2 months in, to the toll on my voice, just the singing part of it, as well as preaching and speaking and leading and all the rest, as well as the team building part, which actually is what I love the most. I love building into the young people, especially that I got a chance to work with. So that's been really fun. I think the other part of it has been my wife and I and how we are trying to reinvent our relationship, our marriage, now 25, 24 years in, when it comes to our time together, time alone. She also went through a major change this summer. She's now a principal of a school, and it's a struggling school. It's a, you could say, a dying school that has gone from a lot of people to only 400 kids, and they're last in basically every category. And, you know, part of me thinks, why did she take that school? But really, that was the only school that offered her a job, and where she was at the time just wasn't the right thing anymore. And so this is where God has her. But it's been a big deal. In many ways, it's just like my church. We're both leading two dying organizations. And that's a very difficult situation to be in, because you have a lot of work and not a lot of fruitfulness or results or change. It takes forever to change these organizations, because it took forever for them to die. So we have been going out more to eat. We went to Outback the other day, and just trying to spend time alone praying. I've been exhausted in the morning, so I haven't been getting up with her as often as I used to. So now we're praying at night a little bit more. So just those routines, you know, of life changing for her with this new job of the teens, and how that's affected me a lot. And then I would say my schooling is sort of stuck. I can't seem to get going with finishing this silly master's degree that is going on year, I don't know, 10 or something like that, something ridiculous. And so, and then as far as fitness, yeah, that's been also pretty bad. Probably gained about 20 pounds in the last 3 years. But I did work out three times last week. And so anyway, I don't want to bore you with, this is just life, right? I have a friend who is dealing with cancer, and this is just silly stuff compared to what my friend is dealing with. I would say that as far as the church for me, as far as my work, it's a year of more losses. We have continued to lose people. But at the same time, there's a renewal in my heart for prayer and for preaching the Word of God. And I am hoping and believing that God is going to do something great. I sometimes get very concerned, of course, with the low numbers and the low offerings and people's mood that obviously is affected by that. And we have some families that are very important to us that are moving because of just trying to find better living situations and a bigger house or a better job or that kind of stuff. And so how am I dealing with all of that? I don't know. I think I have my moments of numbness. I have other moments of, I don't know if it's excitement's the right word. I don't need to be an excited person. I think sometimes as an Enneagram 3 in my personality type, excitement can be almost like a distraction for me. I think, in fact, I have felt more at ease and more numb. I hope it's more trusting than ever because I realize I can't change the river. I can't just make these things happen. And so I have been focusing on preaching the Word of God, as I said, dating my beautiful wife, working out a little bit more, trying to not to overwhelm myself with all the things in front of me, talking to our teens a ton, working through all of the changes that they're going through as well. And really, I would say part of it is hanging on, part of it is being hopeful, part of it is feeling like I am in the hands of God, both of us, my wife and I and our three teens, as well as my church, her job, everything. So it's a very interesting place to be, as I said. It's not your typical, at least for me, go, go, go craziness, and I have a thousand ideas. And it's more of I'm waiting on God. I have a therapist. I haven't seen him in a few months, but last time I saw him, I said to him, what is it that I'm doing right now? Am I just lost? Am I just confused? And he said, no, you're waiting on God. And that's really true. Even though my personality tells me you're lost, you're failing, truly what's happening is that I'm waiting on the Lord to either to have our church die and disappear and we all go our separate ways, or we continue to claw our way out of this little mess and to believe that God is with us. I believe 100% that God is with us. I believe and I feel called to be at the helm and to bring the Word of God. And I am confident that God has called me to preach the gospel and that's all that matters. The results, the money, all that stuff, the mood in the room, the people showing up, that is concerning at times. Other times when, like these last few weeks I've been leading worship, I feel such a release of the Spirit in the room. People's hands in the air, a lot of joy. We had this one Sunday where a little girl, maybe 8, 9 years old, was dancing as we sang songs. It was just a beautiful moment. We've had plenty of those moments lately, all combined with all the stuff that I've been mentioning. So I wonder if you're going through a similar season where things are just blah. Things are not horrible, but they're not great. And I wonder if you shouldn't be okay with that. I wonder if instead of complaining like I usually do, or overdoing things like I also usually do, I wonder if perhaps this is not a time to let things be, to let God lead, to trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him and He will set your path straight. That's Proverbs 3, verse 5. That verse has been so real to me because of my tendency to overdo or to get anxious and depressed. That's another thing that I've been thankful for. You know, I've been off my meds for about 3 months now, and it's been horribly hard. Like, I always go through these withdrawals. I have been taking anti-anxiety medications for about 10 years. And I thought I've always would be on them, but I've been now off of them for about 2 months, and I think that I'm going to I'm going to do it this time. Normally what happens as part of the withdrawal is that I get very angry and my rage is just through the roof more than usual. And then things begin to slow down. Another thing that happens, which is positive, is that I cry a lot. I feel things more normally. When I'm taking the medication, it makes everything neutral. I'm not mad, but I'm not in my feelings. And for me as a speaker, as a human being, as a man who is called to mentor and love people, I need to be in my feelings. I don't mean negative feelings, but to care for people and to feel that in my soul. But this medication has dulled me to that for many years. So I'm excited. I'm looking forward to coming off of this stuff and hopefully being able to stay off of it. I think the reason why I haven't been able to stay off of it before, I would say two reasons. One is because I wasn't trusting God. I was afraid of losing my job, losing money, all these traumatic things that I keep going through. I've been fired from so many jobs and I've made so many mistakes and I have been abused so often and minimized and put down so often in church that I have this trauma when it comes to church and people in leadership. They're going to fire me because I'm a failure, even though I know that God uses me in great ways. So I think what's changed is I'm trusting God more and more. I think second is I'm coming into my own when it comes to my gifts of preaching and leadership. I've been a worship leader for many years, 20 years, 15, 20 years, and a lead pastor for the last 10 years. And I haven't had any success as a lead pastor, zero. I mean, all the churches that I've been a part of have been either just stay the same or really gone downhill. And now, to be fair, I've gone to churches that were all dying, but I haven't been able to bring them up to life or to a better place. And I realize that a lot of it is our culture and all these things. But of course, as a leader, you expect results. And so do people, and so do those that pay you and all that. So it's caused a lot of trauma and fear and anxiety and doubt in me. But I've come into my own as far as my preaching. I am more and more understanding my uniqueness. And I am actually excited for the next 30 years. I'm 50 and John MacArthur is 80-something. Billy Graham, who just recently passed away, he was 99. There are a lot of men and women, Dr. Charles Stanley, he's 87, that are preaching into their 80s and 90s, which gives me hope. It means I have 30 years to learn how to do this and to have an impact. I'm no Billy Graham, of course, but you know what I mean. It's never too late to grow. And so I'm excited about that. I am excited equally about the potential to see this church turn around. This is now my third year, and it takes forever for a church to reinvent itself, especially when it basically died a slow death multiple times. And so I'm also excited about my wife and I and our relationship and our rebirthing of that, our intimacy, our love, our time together, our trips that we want to take, hopefully this Christmas, Thanksgiving season. We're thinking of going to Colorado or Oregon, two places that we love. I also have seen some miracles take place. My great friend Bill is really passionate about the Word of God, and so we've been talking about starting a group or different groups at the church for discipleship and Bible study. I also have a lot of young people that have been just using their gifts of reading the Bible and playing music and prayer for some of the adults. It's been a lot of wonderful things, just spiritually speaking, that are giving me hope. We do have a consultant team coming in a few weeks, and I'm somewhat nervous that they're going to say, just shut this place down, or I'm the problem. But going back to what I said, I feel confident that God has called me and that we will get there. We will not be shaken, as I like to say. Physically, yeah, I mean, it's a big deal. My knee is really bad and my Achilles begins to hurt because of it. And so I'm always kind of mindful and scared some of that Achilles going. But I've gone to the gym 2-3 times last week. I went to Zumba, but that was way too much. I can't handle Zumba. My hips were just killing me for the next 2 weeks after I went. But walking on the treadmill at the gym does seem to work for me at least 2-3 times a week. Eating, yeah. I mean, I've been fine, not horrible, but not great either. So somewhere in the middle. Anyway, my point with all of this, I guess, pity party that I'm having here, is just to show you kind of what where I'm at. I'm not really down. I am more trusting God, waiting on God, detoxing from my medication, from the hype, from my over-dreaming and over-talking and over-promising and under-delivering, and waiting on God to lead me and our family and our church. And I believe that God is able. I had a little, I guess, scare, not a physical thing, I'm fine, but last week, one of my key leaders, she said, well, you know, I may have to move out of the state or to another city, and so I might have to resign, and that really bummed me out. It may not happen after all, I don't know, we'll see, but, you know, when you're a small church and you have a very small team of 2-3 people, which is what we have, and you have very few young, gifted people, you know, that are even at the church, we're mostly a church of elderly people and a lot of children, then when you lose those superstars, quote unquote, I can definitely feel pretty bummed out. But even with that, I've been processing that with the Lord and with my wife. I've been saying to Jesus, Lord, if you take her away, then I know that you will provide, and I know that you're still good, and that's okay, because you have a plan for her, for my life, for the church, and all will be well. Oh yeah, I guess one last thing I do want to say that's been maybe exciting has been I've been focusing on my music a lot. So you know that I make beats and do a lot of live streaming on YouTube. So you can go to my YouTube channel, by the way, davidtrug.com/freemusic, davidtrug.com/freemusic. About a month ago, I hung out with my cousin, and I was hoping to do some music with him, but it kind of stalled, so hopefully we'll get back into it, and then I have another friend who we might do some stuff together. But I've also been focusing more on vlogging and on tutorials and trying to grow my quote-unquote YouTube presence. It's been fun. I've enjoyed it. I can almost already feel the discouragement from all the work that I do and no views. I'm still stuck at 240 subscribers. You don't know how pathetic that is. I mean, most of these guys that are 16 and 18 that do what I'm doing have like 150,000 subscribers. So just some context here for you. And I've been at this for, I don't know, a year. So it seems like in a lot of these areas, if I focus on the negative, my church for 3 years is like dying, you know, my blah, blah, blah. Anyway, it's easy to focus on all this stuff. But my beautiful daughter helped me. She said, Dad, Poppy, do you love it? I said, I love this, my girl. And she said, well, then keep doing it. And that really is true for really all of these things that I'm kind of complaining about. I love my wife, so I will keep at that in our marriage. I love our teens, so I will continue to be in their lives and work through all these teenager stuff. I love my church, and I will continue to give everything I have to see this through. I love my music, and I will continue to do music until the day I die, because it's in my blood. And this podcast, I love it as well. And even when I'm busy and doing a bunch of other things, I'm here because I enjoy talking. I enjoy sharing my knowledge with you, or if anything, just my experience with you. And, you know, we have whatever, 10, 15 downloads per week. And I don't know. Well, I hope that really these are people that are in the area, not all from China or India. I mean, it doesn't matter to me, but I guess what I'm trying to say is that I hope this is making a difference in the lives of at least one person. And that's what it looks like right now for me at age 50, blessed as I can be, and yet waiting on God to show me the way forward. Show me the way. There's a song that I remember I used to sing way back in the day. Show me the way. And that's really how I feel like Moses. Lord, show me your glory. I don't know where you're leading us, Lord, but I want your glory. Like Paul said, I want to know you, Lord. I want to know you. I want to know your glory, and I want to also know you in the power of your suffering, the power of your resurrection. So may you be in the glory of God and in his suffering. Be still. Trust not in your own understanding, but in all of your ways, acknowledge Jesus, acknowledge God, and he will set your path straight. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you do go to davidtrug.com/freemusic. to get some of my latest beats, and I will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The David Trigg Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrigg.com or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android.
Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.